Welcome to Tech Law 10 2012 style. This is Eric Sinrod and Jonathan Armstrong ushering in the new year without fail our weekly podcast on all things where the law and information technology intersect. So Jonathan, I know you've been thinking about what might portend for developments in tech in 2012, so why don't you enlighten us?
I will, Eric, thanks. This is almost like a random stream of consciousness of some of the things that I'm certainly going to be watching out for in 2012, and it's the year when the Olympics come to London, so if you can get over, do come over, you'd be welcome, and I think we're going to see, incidentally, lots of interesting technology-type applications with it being Olympics year. One of the things that I'll be watching out for particularly is a trend that we've talked about before on Tech Law 10 around emails and e-discovery. I see that path still increasing. I see the Europe getting more interested in issues like e-discovery. And I see, for example, the disclosures that we've talked about before with the Murdochs and the problems that News International are going through and the press this week over Rupert Murdoch joining Twitter and all of that sort of stuff. I see all of that as a trend as we have, and we've said it before, emails as the perpetual witness to wrongdoing and people analyzing and looking forensically at electronic footprints and fingerprints. I see also an increased conflict between copyright holders and others. The copyright holder lobby has been very active in trying to push through legislation. As we know, in the US you're having an ongoing debate about that. There's new Spanish legislation this week, and we've had the Hadopi law in France, which is in its second regeneration, if you like, and is gaining a lot of press. In my view, some of this legislation is almost like what we call a dangerous dog in the UK, you know, badly thought through legislation that doesn't address the original problems. But it's right that some rights owners are suffering significantly because of the role of the internet. I did a piece for the BBC last week and an article in the Daily Telegraph, our biggest broadsheet here, and some rights owners have emailed me their stories as a result. Who knew, for example, Eric, that there was a real underground trading knitting patterns on the internet and people stealing the designs for stuffed knitted toys online and setting up Napster-type applications online just to share knitting patterns.
My wife will be interested in that. My wife is an avid knitter, so she will be interested in that.
Good. Well, make sure she buys legitimate copies. And then I see a couple of other things as well that are linked. Cookies, we've talked about that before. I see all of that debate and regulators on both sides of the Atlantic trying to get to grips of cookies, behavioral advertising, transparency online, and I see more actions, for example, relating to Twitter and Facebook. Again, we've talked about that. We've talked about the Know the Net test. The links are on our LinkedIn site, which has now had over 2,000 people sit the test. 50% of people don't know what they can and cannot do online, and I see more prosecutions. And again, over the holiday period, we've had a couple of appeals rejected in Scotland. People going to jail for trying to get people to riot and setting up Facebook groups to do that. What don't I see? I don't see any greater harmony in terms of legislation. I don't see nations coming together to try and police the internet, aside from the most serious cases like internet paedophilia. Despite all of the talk that we've had about new EU data protection regulations, I don't see that happening this year. I know that I'm in the absolute minority. We're waiting for the official version of the proposals to be published. I foresee that happening as early as this month, but I don't see that cascading itself into crystallized law across Europe. And I also don't see a drop in social media. I've been following, as no doubt you have, Eric, and maybe we'll return to this litigation over PhoneDog and Noah Kravitz and who owns a Twitter account. And I see that ongoing conflict between corporations trying to push one of their masters up front to tweet on behalf of the company or to be their profile on LinkedIn or in other social media. And I see the conflicts when they leave the organization. And that question, the perpetual question as to whether people are loyal to individuals or to companies, and I see that being a big issue in 2012 as well. Eric, you'd got some thoughts, I think, around if that's almost subject matter. You've got some thoughts about delivery and technology that we're going to have to get used to.
Well, that's right. In fact, last year around this time, I was telling people rather than turning on and tuning in, they should tune out and turn off, because we were just too overwhelmed with information technology bombardment, and once in a while we need to smell the roses. And that still holds true, but I want to deliver a little bit of a different message this time around and say, isn't technology fantastic? And I think it's really firing on all cylinders. Just the other night I went to the Apple store with my daughter, and we were in a large shopping mall, and most of the traditional retail stores were fairly empty, but you could practically not even move or breathe in this Apple store, because in this one room there were over 40 employees, answering questions and servicing hundreds of people that were streaming in and out, which really tells you something about where we're going. Who isn't on Facebook these days, you know, dealing with their friends? You know, we're living life out loud on YouTube. We can get entertained in so many different ways, including, you know, Pandora, for example, where you can create your own customized radio stations. You know, for example, if you like the Beatles, you can create a Beatles station that not only will play music from the boys from Liverpool, but will bring up other songs by groups that are somewhat similar musically. Obviously, the Internet is no longer confined to a desktop computer or even a handheld device. You know, automobiles now are smart, and you can walk into your car, and, you know, just by talking to it, you can operate navigation systems, Bluetooth connections. You can access all your music and entertainment from all different channels and varieties. And so, you know, all of this technology is, you know, fascinating and fun, and I will certainly continue to develop in 2012. So I think much of the time we should turn on and tune in, but we need to still break out a little time to be here in the real world and observing what's around us. Those are my thoughts for the opening of 2012.
Very interesting, Eric. I mean, I think certainly the statistics here are bearing out your suggestion, really, that it, you know, the Apple store's busy and the rest of the mall ain't. I know two major UK retailers reported their Christmas trading this morning, and very broadly, their bricks and mortar business is about 15% down over the holidays, and their internet business is about 15% up. So they're balancing out, but there's no doubt, certainly from the work that I've been doing last year with a lot of e-commerce sites, e-commerce sales are increasing phenomenally. And just an interesting anecdote over almost a generational thing, there's a bricks and mortar record store that's doing pretty badly in the UK. And I heard a story that the 6-year-old and a 7-year-old kid, I think, their father had said to them, why don't we just go to this particular store and see what sort of records they've got there, you know, what music we can buy over the festive period. And the son says to the daughter, who's a year older, what is this store? I don't even know what this store is. And the knowing elder sister says, do you know what? It's a bit like iTunes, but they do it in a building. And
that reminds me of when my daughter, when she was little, I don't know if I've said this before, but we were at a museum and she saw a typewriter. She said, oh, look, an old-fashioned computer.
I think you're right. It is a generational thing, but I think the way the tech revolution is changing is that, as you say, the devices are more accessible, and so it's It's branching out of the generations. It's not just a younger thing, because, as you say, we can access via voice, we can access via smart TVs through smart cars, etc. So I think you must be right, and certainly I think your thoughts would be mirrored on this side of the Atlantic as well.
Well,
and I guess that's about all we've got.
Well, I just want to conclude by saying I'm interestingly reading the autobiography of Steve Jobs by Walter Isaacson, and it's a fascinating read, and it makes me wonder, you know, who will be the next Steve Jobs, and what will that person come up with? And we'll find out soon.
And it's time you stepped up to the plate, then, Eric.
I think I'll keep doing my law gig, as will you. But on that note, it sounds like we should probably sign off. We're now at Tech Law 12 for this particular segment. So thank you for joining us. This is Eric Sinrod. You can find me at ejsinrod@duanemorris.com. You can find both of us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. If you want to close it out, Jonathan, thank you ever so much.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's our 50th podcast. So I guess we, if that is right, we should celebrate the half century as well. We should say thank you for listening to us. You can obviously go back through the archive for the other 49, and also you can hold us to our predictions in the start of 2013. All that remains, I think, is to wish you a peaceful and prosperous 2012 and to thank you once again for listening. Goodbye.
Thank you.